From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum here on the Bleed Blue Show. Going to talk some Knicks basketball, some more post-All-Star break stuff since the Magic game, the Celtics game, the Warriors game. BleedBlueShow.com is our website, audio archive episode on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. Without further ado, I'm not even going to milk this. I'm going to just say this. All the archive episodes, you already know how we do. You already know what I'm going to say. The Yankees show, the Rangers show. The Giants show, all the other shows that we do, the stakeholder spotlights, all that and the shebang on the website, or all the, you can download those episodes to your smartphone, tablets, and all that stuff. We got to get right into it. Let's talk with Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the Knicks on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and then bring on the stakeholders and have some nice dialogue, because I'm feeling real good talking Knicks right now. So, Av, what's up, man? How's everything?
Moving sucks. I'm just saying. Moving sucks. Dude, we had so much fun on the other day with the dugout, and now we have to go into this. It's like it's kind of like you have to work, have a couple of drinks or something, because, I mean, the Knicks, look, I'm not expecting victories. I'm not expecting, you know, upset and for them to contend. I'm just expecting for some effort. And, you know, okay, they showed great effort in Orlando. However, that is a team that they should still beat, despite the injury to KP and whatnot. They had a pretty good game for about 3.5 quarters against Boston until Kyrie Irving came back in the game and just basically took a 7-point deficit that they had and turned it into a 9-point lead in like 2 minutes. And then, of course, the debacle of playing the world champion Golden State Warriors at the Garden. I mean, that's, it's pretty sad. Bring on the stakeholders, because I know I'm not the only one who feels the same way.
I'm actually, don't look at it like the way you just did, because you're looking at, we'll bring on the stakeholders, but let me say this to counter what you're saying. I thought they played well for most of those games. Orlando game, they did what they needed to do. Boston, like you said, Kyrie Irving's a hell of a player. I can't really knock him going off the way he did. He's going to do that to most teams, if not all the teams. And then when it comes to the Warriors, it's the Warriors. I mean, the Knicks looked good in one half. The first half, we already knew they were going to collapse in the third quarter. That's what the Knicks do. So they've done what they were expected to do versus high competition. And I thought they played well, man. I'm not really down on them, like what Knicks fans, they lost, and that's not good. That's not the good thing. But there is a little bit of, for the rest of the season, they look like they're going to be fine as far as maybe they could put some wins together, and that's all you could really ask for. So hold on, let's get some stakeholders on this talk. Let's get some quick intros, because let's do this. Let's see who is this? 7122. Oh, this is Mr. Lie. Let's bring him on. John, what's going on? How you doing?
What's good, brothers? How everybody doing, ladies and gentlemen? Everybody good?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. You know, these Knicks, man, I put it like this, man. I'm in full tank mode, man. I got the AR-15 right beside me, man. I'm in the tank. I got the helmet on. The visor's on. And I'm ready to roll. You know what I'm saying? It's you know, none of these losses are surprising. None of the inadequate coaching is surprising. Even the lackluster play of some of the players is not surprising. You understand what I'm saying? Silva had put out a letter today about, you know, the bottom line is, you know, the customers and competitive crap and all of this is garbage. You know what I'm saying? I believe Perry will exercise and see exactly what he has going into next year. This is not his team, nor is Hornacek his coach. Real fans know that the offseason started when KP went down. Okay, it's just a simple fact. What is there to play for? You know, now I think the brother Dom, who was always eloquent with his statements, said it best when, you know, Ella asked the question, why would you tank now? And, we're in ninth position. It's to keep the eighth or ninth position. You know, everybody above us is going to tank lovely, you know, and do everything they can to keep their positions, you know. So, you know, the Knicks, and you can see it, this is not necessarily what I want, because I do believe in what the brother said too. We're winning, winning is way more important than losing because of some draft pick. We need to exercise that, we need to exercise winning over everything else. So, none of this is surprising. What I'm looking forward to right now is I'm hunkered down and seeing if Trey Burke can do more than, you know, high pick and roll and, you know, maybe evade one or two guys. His handy. Everybody keep on making this Iverson comparison. His handle is nowhere near Iverson's. He has nowhere the escapability or one-on-one on an ISO situation that Iverson had. And he needs that pick and roll, and he needs the offense to also be stagnant for him to be totally successful. So not that I'm complaining about it. I think the brothers is one of the shines, highlights of what's happening right now. It's just that I need to see more of him, you know, before we, you know, maybe not look at a Trey Young or a Sexton, you know, everybody talking about, you know what I'm saying, let's not pick Sexton, let's not pick Trey Young. I'm like, dog, if I'm not completely sold on Trey Burke, even though I like the brother and I think he's a keeper, do we pass up a Trey Young or do we pass up a Sexton? You know, I don't know. Moutier just got here. Very disappointed in his play. Very, 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 like, what were you doing, you know, for the last 3 years? You know what I'm saying? Like, he looks the same as when he came in as a rookie. I'm like, wow. The Williams guy, I've seen him go off in games, so I was very happy that the Knicks got Troy Williams. So, other than that, like I said, man, I want to see the young guys. I don't want to see Lee on the floor anymore. You know, like, his face just says it all. He has had it with this, short minute thing. So, you know what I'm saying, get him out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like he doesn't want to play, and I really don't want to see him. I want to see more Dotson, even though, you know, he's looking like he might not be as consistent as we need him to be. But, you know, I just want to see the young guys. That's it. I don't want to see anybody except maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. Does him and Cantor, you know, who I want to get his number, so, you know, he may leave. You know what I'm saying? That's the only reason why I want that to happen. So. But other than that, man, again, I'm just hanging down, man. I'm in the tank and I'm rolling, man.
All right, Mr. Lai, I have a lot of points. We're going to get to a lot of those points that he addressed. Let's bring on another stakeholder. I think this is a Sim, and then we go back to Ab. If I'm incorrect, please correct me. Who's this? Stakeholder.
You correct, Steve. What's going on, my brother?
Sim. What's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I can't call it, man. It's looking like promising baseball might be coming on in the Bronx and maybe in Queens to a lesser extent. So I'm pretty much in full on baseball mode now. But, you know, we're here to talk basketball. So, can't help but agree with you, Steve. We know what this team is. That, you know, they're going to put forth effort for a while. And against teams like Orlando, that effort is probably going to be good enough to beat them. And against teams like Boston and, Golden State, it's going to be okay. It's going to be reputable. But, you know, it's going to be kind of like when you're an older brother and you got a little brother and he want to fight you and he's just swinging and you got your hand on his head and you like, you can't hit me. Eventually, you just like, I'm tired of you. You throw him to the side. That's what the good teams are going to do. When they get tired of it being close, they're going to put their hammer down, and they're going to go ahead and do what they got to do. And, you know, if people got fooled by that first half against Golden State and thought the Knicks had a snowball chance of hell of winning that game, I don't know. They maybe have never watched basketball a day in their life. I mean, it's almost impossible to beat a team with four all-stars, especially a team with three caliber shooters that you got with Thompson, Durant, and Curry. Like, that wasn't going to happen. And same thing that you said. What Kyrie did to them, Kyrie can do to any team in this league when he's on his game. So I look at it, it is what it is. You know, like the brother just stated, it's just about seeing the young pieces, seeing what you could do. Burke might not be the answer as a long-term answer, you know, as a starter at point guard, but at worst, he looked like somebody that could come off the bench and give you some buckets and maybe play. And to me, that's a solid rotational piece on the team. So if he could do that for you, then I'm all for it. I mean, at this point in time, you like you said, you're not going to be able to tank because there's too many teams out there that are so much worse than what the Knicks already are, and they're going to lose. So that's pretty much out the window. And, you know, there is something to winning some of these games down the stretch. Forget about a draft pick. You know, you want these guys to get used to winning. You want to get them into what it takes to win. And everybody wants to tank to get this high draft pick, man. Them high draft picks don't always pan out. And you look at the league, you can. It's all about you scouting players, picking the players, and developing the players. There's plenty of players that didn't go in the top 10 that are stars. DeRozan, Klay Thompson, Kawhi Leonard, all them guys didn't go in the top 10. They didn't go in the top 5. And they're all stars and key players in this league. So it's all about finding talent and developing. I mean, you know what, Steve? The Spurs had, what, one top 10, top 5 pick in the last 20-something years, and that was Tim Duncan. The Spurs always picking at the end of the first round or in the second round. But they what do they do that's better than anybody else? They scout, they find the talent, and they develop it. So it's up to Perry's job to find the talent, wherever he can find it at, and to get people in here to develop that talent, whether it's the proper assistant coaches and the head coach, or, you know, you have a system where you have guys work out during the offseason, you have somebody overseeing their development during the summer. That's pretty much all it is. When you can find the young pieces and you develop them, then you can have a team. Keep telling everybody, man, Golden State wasn't built overnight. They built the core of that team through draft picks. They went through the ups and downs, and they went ahead and they won. You know what I mean? Like my pop said, when the championship in 69-70 for the Knicks, it took 6 years to put that team together before they won. So it's going to take time. You know what I mean? The question is just, do we have the right coach in place to get the most out of the players, and do we have the right guy in the front office getting the players? Only time will tell that, but hopefully we do.
Yeah, a lot of great points, guys. And before we go back to Av, let me say some things from the games itself. The Magic game, I thought they responded very well in the third quarter, the way they at least put on some defense. It was somewhat inspiring the way they came back in that game and actually took command in that game. And I can't really kill Hornacek too much. I know we lost 2 out of 3, but I look at the opponents, Boston, Golden State. I mean, these are your top echelon of teams in the league. And you kind of hung around with them. Take it for what it's worth. Maybe they were kind of put on the gas and maybe they weren't playing hard enough. Nonetheless, the Knicks were up 1.5 over the Warriors until Golden State decided to turn it on. We all seen Golden State do this to every team in the league for the most part. When they want to play after half, they do what they need to do. But the Knicks hung on. They at least showed guts. They don't have the firepower to keep up with Golden State, like most teams don't. But the Boston game, I know Av's a little down on that, but I can't, like Sim said, I can't really knock it. When Kyrie gets hot, he does what he does. And I don't want to look at this like, oh, man, the Knicks lost, taking this another negative direction. I kind of look at a lot of positives in this game because versus most teams on the schedule, I think the Knicks probably win 2 out of 3, if not all 3 games, the way they played. They had a lot, you know, they had the letdown quarter in the third quarter versus both Boston and Golden State. But I'm actually inspired the way the point guards have played. And it's really the point guards. And as much as we kill Ntilikina, and Av, you have not, you're not a fan at all, or you weren't high on him. And I was kind of like, give it the benefit of the doubt, and I really kind of got off the wagon. I have to really admit, I think for the small sample size since the All-Star break, since that's the only thing we can go off of, Av, he's played well. He's played better. Maybe because they needed a break since the All-Star break. Maybe Moutier is there. Maybe Trey Burke is there. Maybe a combination of those three guys make themselves all better. But I got to admit, Ntilikina played, he's going to the hole more, which I like. And even when I don't like the fact that he's not making the shots, I like the fact that he's taking the shots. He's taking a lot of shots that he wasn't taking. He would pass it up, telegraph passes, get him turnovers. He's taking a lot of jumpers. He's just not making them, and that's something that's going to have to be worked on in all season, because if he can knock down that 18-footer, he's going to be a nice little point guard. If he could add that to his game, he just needs to make a consistent jumper. But we saw what Trey Burke has done off the bench in both the Boston game and also the Orlando game. You got to like that. And then you add on Troy Williams as well, the athleticism. You keep Courtney Lee on the bench. I like what the team has gotten more athletic. You subtract Lee, and somebody said, I can't remember which stakeholder said it, and they have a great point. And I think we all saw it, but we didn't want to admit it if the one stakeholder said it, that when you sit Porzingis and you go smaller, you do get a little bit athletic. Now, I know Beasley has kind of struggled. We would like to see him get a little bit going as well in some of these games, because he has not shot well. But Cantor, he's still going to get you nice, you know, layups and some rebounds. But athletically, with Moutier, Burt, Ntilikina, and Williams, I don't really have much of an issue with Jeff Hornacek in the rotation since the All-Star break. We just played better teams. You beat Orlando. You needed to beat Orlando. You were better than Orlando. But Boston, Golden State are kind of like classes of the league. And Mr. Live had brought up the points with he said there was some of it was lackluster play. And I agree with as far as some of the quarters that was kind of got the games out of the hand. But I don't know what Knicks fans was comparing Burke to Iverson. That we all know that's not true on this platform. Maybe because of the braids, I don't know. But definitely not the type of play. But Marlo said that. Okay, well, I don't agree with that at all. But as long as Burke is going to come off a high pick and roll, a 1-5 pick and roll, and he's knocking down that jumper consistently, I have no issues with that at all. Go ahead, Ev. What other things you'd like to add? Because I want you to really get your thoughts on these three games. I'm kind of surprised you're a little more down on it than I thought you would be, because I actually like their play.
Well, see, my biggest issue is Jeff Hornacek's ability to make adjustments. In the Boston game, they made some minor adjustments, you know, once Kyrie Irving was benched and the Knicks were in control. Once he came back, yeah, obviously – you know, when Kyrie gets it going, you know, there's really not stopping him. Any adjustments to apply pressure to Kyrie. Kyrie had his way. Completely had his way.
Okay.
Stop right there.
So, okay, what would like the coaching to do? What adjustment when he came back in the game, he kind of went off in the third quarter. Like, what would you like to see them do defensively? I think that's what you're talking about.
The biggest thing is try to get the ball out of his hands. You know, make him the off guard for a little bit and get the ball out of his hands. Because Boston, yeah, most of the guys still, you know, still can handle the rock more or less. But if you get the ball out of his hands and you at least, you know, trap him for a second, you now open the possibility for someone else to pick the shot. Kyrie basically, again, he took a 7-point deficit and turned it into a 9-point lead in less than 2 minutes. By himself, he didn't even really pass the ball almost at all. By himself, in 2 minutes, he turned a seven point deficit to a 9-point lead. That's something that just cannot happen. Especially if you know that he was able to tie the game. Then what do? You trap the point guard. You force the ball out of his hands and make them create the shot. And then that would have been at least a weak adjustment. I wasn't expecting victories in those two games. Don't get me wrong. It's just mid-game adjustments, which Hornacek has always seemed to have a big knack of not being able to catch. In the Golden State game, excuse me. They came out at halftime and they were pure, and the Knicks came out flat. They became a pure jump shooting team. The Warriors picked up on it. They did a lot of traps. A lot of, you know, they made the Knicks shooters go to where they wanted to go and take a lot of contested, really awkward, bad shots, and then Golden State just ran away with it. I mean, that's just like the creme de la creme, and I get that. I mean, I get it. They're the world champions. You're expecting them to lose, and you're expecting them to, you know, for the chance to make adjustments. But the Knicks need to at least make some adjustments, and if they at least made an adjustment and failed, at least you can hang your hat and say, all right, well, we just lost to a better team. No, we just lost to a better team, and we're so ill-equipped because of Horace's inability to make in-game adjustments. Aside from rotations, yeah, I'm cool with your rotations. I'm cool. I love what I'm seeing out of Trey Burke. I'm loving what I'm seeing. You know, I love what I see from Kyle O'Quinn when he's in the game. I mean, you know, he's attacking the boards, eating out dudes. He's doing exactly his job. You know, the new guy, I'm blanking on his name for a second. You know, he's being very athletic. Yeah, Williams, he's being really athletic. He's creating opportunities, clearing space. And luckily, Burke, Neil Aquina, and occasionally Jack would find him, you know, down low on the back door, and then he would be able to create. The point guard play has been exceptional. You know, probably the best three-game stretch for a point guard since our last winning streak, which was, I don't even remember when it was, what, like early January? Maybe even before that. But the Knicks have to be – the Knicks are so deficient at the head coach because the coach needs to be able to make adjustments. This is not even just a knock on him saying that, this is only his second year, these are all new players, players are young, this, that, and the third. This is coaching 101, making adjustments during the game. You know, simple adjustments, trap the point guard. That's something that all you need is two guys to do. You know, now guys for rebounds. And then when all that stuff happening, Golden State, you know, went to the half down by one. Within the three-minute mark, they were up by 17. It's like, come on now. That's just in-game adjustments and at least making it somewhat competitive because, I mean, you're expecting losses, but at this point, we're all down on moral victories. Don't get me wrong. We're all down on them. But at this point, we'll take them because that's the only victories that the Knicks are going to be able to get since they have a tendency to not be able to come back for the second half and play.
All right, fair points. I'm going to hold off my thoughts when we go back on. Let's go back to Mr. Lyon and get his thoughts on anything he already said. He heard his Sims points, my points, ass points. Mr. Lyon, anything else you'd like to add from these three games and the point guards, the athleticism or the lackluster play that you brought up, coaching in these three games?
So, as much as I was talking about the draft as far as the front court acquisitions I was talking about, I agree with the brother Av, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, the front court has been the most optimistic as far as after the All-Star break. In particular, Frank. Okay? You know what I'm saying? I can't stand Frank. I think, you know, I post a lot with the deer in the headlight thing, you know what I'm saying? Like that man looks scared. He probably looks scared every day of his life. He got the same look, like he in a wind tunnel. You know what I'm saying? And he getting too much information at one time. I would even say that, you know, having him play at so many minutes and be such an intricate part of this process in New York, I think the whole thing is overwhelming the cat. Because if you notice, he's doing things right now that would actually make him not a bust. You understand what I'm saying? Like, he has a great jump shot, you understand? Does it need to be more consistent? I don't even know. It looks great. It looks clean. It looks confident. He's driving to the basket like he's been driving to the basket his whole life. I think it's because he has less things to do. You know, and I don't think he's a point guard in this league, maybe in the French league, But I don't think he's a point guard, and I don't think he'll ever develop to be a point guard. And here's my point.
Can I ask you a question on that?
Yeah.
Do you think he's – maybe that's part of it, and that's a part I kind of almost forgot. Since he's kind of played the off guard since the All-Star break and some of this rotations, whether it's Moutier or Burke bringing up the ball, he's kind of off guard. You think he kind of – he looks a little bit better, a little bit more comfortable than actually playing the traditional one. That's kind of what I see every time when he goes attacks or even when he's wide open and he shoots and he misses. Is that part of, like, maybe that's why he kind of looks a little bit better than what he has or, you know, what you would say deer in the headlights?
You know what? No, I think that's absolutely the point. I think he looks a lot better. I'm serious, too. But I think he looks 50% better. You understand what I'm saying? He's not intaking a whole bunch of the information and the responsibility. I think, you know what I'm saying? Like if you would look at his predisposition to just pass the ball, he just won't pass. Every time he get it past half court, he just won't get rid of it. Like it's a hot lob in his hand, and and that's where all the turnovers come from because he does not want to have that ball, and he don't want to have that decision-making a natural point guard would have to make. His brain is frying after he get past half court. You understand what I'm saying? Whereas when Moutier or Burke has it, now he's just playing. He's doing things more instinctively. You know what I'm saying? He's naturally playing his defense. He's actually playing defense on somebody who he can physically match up with. You know what I'm saying? When he gets those speedy or more physical point guards, he can't handle them. So his vaunted defense is not that good. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't look that good. Here's another thing. His body, he's not going to do anything but get heavier. Okay? I got a 22-year-old son. You understand what I'm saying? Him and Frank looked the same physical situation when they was 19. Okay? They both play ball. Both are skinny. 2 years, that man gained 20 pounds. You understand what I'm saying? Just you know what I'm saying? My boy is not on a vitamin regimen, and he doesn't have the best trainers in the world, and he's not running a damn court, you know what I'm saying, for a living. Frank is going to be diesel. If the boy 19, he might grow a couple more inches. You understand what I'm saying? Like he's not going to get smaller. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to get more. He's going to get stronger. He needs to, on the offseason, he needs to practice on that two position. That's exactly what he needs to do. In saying that, again, with the front court position, I hope Moutier pans out the rest of the year. Because if he don't, again, I'm skeptical on now because I think we need Mikal Bridges at that 8-9 spot. You know what I'm saying? He's the player we need, you know. But if Moutier don't work out, I mean, is Trey Burke the starting point guard? I don't know. Let me say one thing about Hornacek, too. He murdered me when he took Moutier out of that. I forgot what game that was. He was killing.
Warriors game.
It was the Warriors game, right. Why did he take him out? Like what the hell? What the hell was that? Like finally the man gets Mabin Schuster was like 0-13 from the 3-point line. He hits three in a row, a couple of assists. He was killing him. He had 18 points in the first half. Maybe 16 in that first quarter. He was killing him. Why would he take him out there? Dude, that's why I said I'm comfortable in the tank. I'm seeing it. I got the vets on. I got the helmet on. I'm good because that was a tank move right there. You know, I think it was even detrimental to that man's growth. You know what I'm saying? So this is why I don't like Hornacek. I'm like he's done. I'm not looking for him to go nowhere for the rest of the year. But he's done. That was a tank move right there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you're not doing anybody any favors doing stuff like that. You know, like the brother Av said, man, it was only going, only so much was going to happen with Golden State and Boston. You know, I think you see the potential, and maybe even making the case against Mines to keep Kanter, to hopefully Kanter re-ups in the off season because it, you know, my problem was him and KP. You know, if somebody is at that four spot that can close out on the perimeter, then his defense doesn't look as bad. But, again, as Av said, you know what I'm saying, with Hornacek not, you know, telling cats to take the ball out of the point guard's hands, we're going to lose because then you make Kanter susceptible to the pick and roll. You understand what I'm saying? Have Kanter hedge. You know what I'm saying? Have him move up. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Like so you already know he's not going to backpedal defensively enough to stop nobody, you know what I'm saying, coming into that paint. Hedge Kanter up. Hedge the whole thing. Double the point guard. Whatever you guys do. Get it out that high pick and roll where we so susceptible to it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. The Orlando game was the Orlando game. We had a good chance, and I think, you know, as you guys said, we're going to have plenty of opportunity to win those type of games. We're not going to win against the above 500 team. You understand what I'm saying? But you know, teams like Orlando and, you know, whoever else trying to, you know, Atlanta's and stuff like that, we'll be okay, man. And those are going to look competitive because, you know, actually we're going to have a chance to win those. So, you know, that's me, man.
Sounds good. Sim, anything else you'd like to add from the points of Mr. Lai, Av, myself? Then we go back to Av and bring on some stakeholders. Go ahead, Sim.
I mean, like your brother said, Frank, like, it does look like Frank is playing a little bit more loose. I think maybe people pigeonhole him as a point guard was a bad thing because the way he's been playing recently, he more has the look of a combo guard, you know. And I can see that in his future where you can have him run the point sometimes, but he's not going to be like a full-time point. But he's big enough and he's smart enough to play off the ball. So, you know, you can see it. You can see it looks like game might be starting to slow down a little bit for him. He looked like he's thinking a lot less and he's reacting a lot more. And he's definitely being more aggressive with his shot. He's taking the ball to the basket more. He's not hesitating coming off of pick and rolls to let his jump shot go, whether it doesn't go in. And, you know, I think, you know, like the brother said, his jump shot will get better. And as his body fills out, he's going to get better. It's just going to take time, man. It's going to take time for his body to naturally develop and for him to get that grown man strength. I mean, my main example is I go back to Anthony Davis, man. We saw when he came out of Kentucky, that boy was rail thin. Same thing with Kevin Garnett when he came straight from high school. He was rail thin. It took them guys 3 or 4 years before they got into their grown man strength and fully got into their body and then started to impose their will in this league. So, you know, you got to give him some time to develop. I mean, hell, look how skinny, you know, and frail Giannis was, man. Now you see Giannis, that dude is cut up. Damn, they're looking like Mr. Olympia. But this is season 4 for him. You know what I mean? So we got to take it with a grain of salt how he is right now. You know, now the key is just going to be seeing what growth and what steps he can make in the offseason from year 1 to year 2. The good thing is year 1 was so slow that you could definitely improve more than what year 1 was. It's not like, oh, he has such a dynamite year 1, and then if he slacks off a little bit, you know, it's a sophomore slump. Like, he really has nowhere to go but up from here. So, you know, that's good. Hornacek, I mean, it's good and bad with him. Good, you know, was reading reports that he's been working with Moutier the last, couple of days after practice on his shooting form and his rotation. And, you know, if that Golden State game, the beginning, was anything, you know, he might have found something that could work. Now the question is, can he string that together for a few games and to see? So, you know, that's good. But the main thing and the main knock that I've had with Hornacek all year is his rotation. Like the brother said, you will have guys that's hot, you take them out too quickly. You will have guys that's on the court struggling, and you staying with them too long. So I don't know what his deal is. You know what I mean? There's been games we've seen it. We saw Trey Burke had a good game against Brooklyn, like 18 points and like 5 or 6 assists. And then he didn't play but 2 or 3 minutes the next 2 games. And you're looking for consistent scoring and somebody to settle down your offense, but you got him parked on the bench. Not saying that my man is the savior, but, I mean, he was functional
and he was keeping the offense moving. The offense wasn't stagnant. So why not give him, you know, the minutes? If you're saying you got to earn the minutes in practice and you earning the minutes by performance, I mean, why is he not getting more minutes? I mean, Jarrett Jack is a vet. I know he's a good leader, but you knew that man was on his last legs, man. He ain't played a full season in 2 years. So, if anything, you could have lessened his minutes and you could have went with some of the younger guys. But, I mean, you know, like the brother said, I don't think Hornacek is going to be here next year. Perry didn't hire him and Mills didn't hire him. That's a Jackson hire. So, I like to believe that if they're not going to succeed, they're going to want to make sure that they do it with their guy. You know, we could be looking at any number of possibilities, maybe as a head coach. And, you know, I know my brother Ab don't like the constant upheaval, but it's just, this is the way it is. This is the business. Everything is built off of relationships, and they don't really have a relationship with him because he wasn't their hire. So, you know, I fully expect them to go in another direction and get somebody that is used to dealing with young talent and developing them the right way. You know, I've been on record saying, you know, get me Mark Jackson in here. Hell, I take Fizdale, the coach from Memphis, in here too. Guys who known for developing younger talent, getting them to buy in and play on both ends of the court. So hopefully, you know, we can try to get some more talent and we can just see who could potentially be pieces to help in the future and who they definitely need to jettison and get rid of. But definitely got to agree, the team has definitely got younger and more athletic. And, you know, it's just a matter of keeping the pieces that can help you and trying to set a core of to begin the continuity with and just build from there. But, you know, that's pretty much it.
Hey, Al, can you quickly chime in to their points before you bring on more stakeholders for Mr. Live and SM?
Just really quick on you mentioned Neal Aquina. Neal Aquina does look a whole lot more comfortable because he doesn't have that pressure. When you have a much more experienced point guard there and he can move off the ball, he can make decisions based on his defender as opposed to, you know, his defender, the offense setting, who has the hot hand, you know, who has a clear pass from the to the goal. He can now create for himself. And you see it a whole lot more when he's being the defender, using the screen, and is taking a lot more leeway with his shot. So and that's gonna develop over time. I haven't been the biggest Neal Aquina supporter, but he has been impressing me with, you know, with a lot of his moxie and his determination. So let's bring on the next stakeholder, brother.
Yeah, man, I could have said it any better. I like the confidence. Let's see. Let's talk to Dre, Little Dre to the Rec on Instagram. Dre, what's up, man? Talking Knicks. What's on your mind? And then we'll get to Lou. Go ahead, Dre.
What's good, everybody? And I love everybody's points. But I think for the rest of the season, it's just more towards evaluation. And like the other person said, and I don't know what Horner said, like basically like tank mode. Emmanuel Moody, I was actually impressed. The only thing is that I'm not getting my hopes up further yet because I want to see him do it consistently so we can, confirm what his strengths and what's not. Frank, on the other hand, he's going to have to battle for minutes either way. But as of right now, I can probably say he's going to have an average of 23 minutes a night. And he definitely has looked a whole lot more comfortable. Like I said, he just needs time to just get wrong because learning how to play point guard it's basically a hard position. You probably could because you're not getting yourself involved, but you're getting the whole team involved. And with the coaches, my top two, I'll probably have to say Dave from when he used to coach for Memphis. He's straightforward, straight to the point. Some of, I believe the young guys can definitely respect. Mark Jackson, been a favorite too. And that's pretty much what it got for. That's only what I got to say for now.
Let me ask you another question before we go to Lou. Let me ask you this. What did you take from the Magic game, the Celtic game, the Warriors game? Were you disappointed or strongly disappointed that they lost, the way they played, the coaching? Or did you sit back and just analyze it? Like, how did you look at the game through your mind, through your lens?
Okay, with the Celtics game, that one I was actually Okay, well, I'm going to give you the rundown. Good with the Celtics game. The Magic game, it wasn't impressed or anything. That's, I'm just feeling like, I feel like, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. And with the Warriors, I was sort of actually disappointed, not because we lost, but on how, because of inconsistencies of you actually not performing and not being able to show up. And it's kind of basically getting garbage Bucky points. And because it was like multiple times where it's like on defense, he just broke down. But and for the other players like Trey Burke, I'm not saying he'd definitely be the starter for the team, but in terms of a backup reliable point guard that you can get 20, 25 minutes for, I can actually probably say he is that guy. He definitely got his efficiency up. He was able to run the show, get his little 5-6 assists, and definitely create his own shot. Now, him, I would definitely want the Knicks to re-sign him. Same thing with Michael Beasley, nice energy piece right there. And be able to get you a good 12 points a game. And definitely, and I mean definitely on the record, re-sign Troy Williams. I liked what I seen on him on defense. Even though he didn't show up on regular box score, it actually showed up on a plus and minus chart. I liked he used his length when he got switched on to KD for a good amount, a couple times, and he used his athleticism, especially when slashing to the basket. I actually love that kid. We need more like him. That's it.
All right, shout out to Dre. Let's bring on Lou. Lou, what's going on? Talking some Knicks basketball. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I must say that I have been very disappointed in the Knicks. I thought it was going to be a better year this year. I mean, they looked fine, but then again, with the injuries that piled up, you know, it really did them in. I was hoping that, you know, they would, you know, make some better moves once the trade deadline hit. I mean, I do like this new guy. How do you say his name? Mudiay? I have been impressed with him. He has been, you know, he has been showing that, you know, some improvement for his team, but it's just not enough. But at the same time, you don't need to be talking, you know, oh, let's just tank for the season, because that, you know, that's only going to, you know, lower your morale, and we don't really need that. I was hoping, though, for something, you know, much better this season than, like, we did last year, because last year was just a complete waste of a season. And this year doesn't seem to be much better.
All right, anything else you'd like to add, or you want to wait and hold off?
I'll wait and hold on.
All right, cool. Before we go back to Av, let's bring on Tom. Tom, what's going on? Talking Knicks, talking NBA, man. What's going on? It's been a minute. How you doing?
How you doing, guys?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, cool. Was there any topics you guys were actually touching on, or should I give, like, general opinion, or can I chime in on something? I just tuned in, like, three or 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, general opinion on the last three games with the Knicks. We'll probably touch on a little bit of the NBA as well since the All-Star break. Well, anything on your mind, then we'll go back to Av after that, and then everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in a weird spot here, right? Because on one end, the best thing we could do is go 0-23 the rest of the season to tank and try and get a draft pick. On the other end, the problem is everything is so bunched up that we could literally go 0-23. I still don't think we land a top five pick, because I think other teams are going to attempt to go 0-23 too, since this is the last year that, like, basically that's going to be rewarded fully in terms of being able to tank like that. I think just, I don't know. It's a tough season, because I think you have Porzingis just in the center of any type of hope that we could possibly have. And to have someone in a big market like that who was effective instantly on a contract that, I mean, he was in before even, like, the rookie scale contracts got to be higher. I mean, the fact that we were a big market team that really could have had multiple opportunities at, you know, 60-plus million in cap space, and to have the opportunity to have that combined with Porzingis on a salary of, like, $5 million, to see what we've done with that money, which is essentially Noah for $18 million, Hardaway for $18 million, will have a little money this offseason, but I don't really know. I mean, it's just like the ineptitude, just the consistent ineptitude over and over and over again. Just like, and we're a smart fan base. We're not stupid. Like, and that's really the problem, right? Like, you can't, like, Moutier is like, I think they might see it as taking a flyer. Like, Moutier's terrible. Like, Moutier is almost better to tank the season. Like, Moutier is the kind of pickup you get if you want to tank the season, not to try and win. So I don't know what they're trying to bill that as. My worry is I think they took Moutier thinking they're taking a flyer on a decent player, when in reality it's like, no, this is just another way to tank a season. I have no – he's not going to develop a jump shot. His defense is pretty bad. Maybe he develops into an eighth or ninth man, but it's not going to mean anything on this team, and we don't want to be the ones holding the bag, having to pay him any kind of a contract. I think when you think about giving out that Hardaway deal, like, when basically, and I don't want to harp on it too much, but like, the fact is that other teams in this offseason, like, having cap space this offseason is a massive advantage, right? Because all the other teams have smartened up and realized you can't give out the type of contracts that people were giving out 2 years back. We were really the only franchise that gave out a ridiculously swig. We gave out that Tim Hardaway contract like it was the year before, when everyone was getting all these absurd contracts. And, like, there's really just no defense for it. It's worked out exactly as you expect. He's a high-volume, low-end two-guard who's not going to do anything for us and, like, is just eating up cap space, and he's going to be really difficult to trade. Like, I don't know if you could give him away. So it's just, like, I don't know. I guess I'm just calling in to find some sort of silver lining or some sort of hope, but, like, we're once again going to get, like, a middling draft pick. This seems to be, like, potentially 3 to 5 legit stars in this draft, and it seems very likely we're going to finish on the outside of being able to grab one of them, meaning we'll be back in that spot of, like, the 8th draft pick realm and kind of just we'll get what we get. But, like, I don't know. Give me some hope.
Hey, what you counter to Tom's point, then I want the same thing for Mr. Lott. Ab, real quick, if you want to, anything you want to rebut what Tom said, and then we go to the same thing for Mr. Lott as well.
I really don't have much of a rebuttal. I mean, their points make a lot of sense. Unfortunately, you know, tanking is really not an option for this Knick team. I mean, remember, we ended up with the second worst record in the NBA a few years back and ended up with the 4th pick. Yes, I know it's Porzingis, but imagine if we had number one and ended up with Karl Anthony Towns, it'd be a whole different, you know, it'd be a whole different conversation. But be that as it may, I'm going with the last caller, is that at least give me something. Show me some effort. And show me something good to look forward to, because we, you know, year in, year out, we as fans, have these high hopes that something will turn it around and at least make this team competitive. A draft pick, a free agent signing, a change of direction, a change of philosophy, whatever the case may be. And nothing ever seems to pan out. I mean, yeah, we know the reasons why, because certain things in management haven't changed. But at least something for the Knicks fans to feel comfortable. Because, I mean, at this point now, I mean, you remember back in the 90s when we would have an 8 or 10-point loss, we'd be throwing shit at the TV because we're so mad because we shouldn't beat them. Now, an 8 or 10-point loss is a moral victory. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's really sad about it right now.
I think what one of the hardest thing for me about being a Knicks fan in the last, like, I'm trying to pinpoint when this exactly started. I'll say something like 8 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. But as a fan, it's like the difference between the 90s and now, right? We have so much information about the inner workings of the team, right? Like, in the past, maybe you knew there was a coach feuding with a player. But we now know, like, players go to organizations because they view them as a business, right? Like, if you have 3 job offers, right, and one of them is with a well-run organization that you know is going to help you learn and get better at your job and will eventually take you to the next level, you're going to take that over a dysfunctional job that might maybe be in, like, a slightly bigger city and pay you maybe a bit more. But, like, the fact is that Dolan, the only good thing you can say about the guy is that he's willing to spend money. But he's the worst kind of CEO in the sense that he does not keep himself informed at all. He does not want to work hard at all to make the team good. And yet he also pops his head in at the worst possible times and makes decisions like that are completely uninformed. Right? There is no legitimate player that we don't draft that will like actually show up to this team right now. And I think, yes, we had the second worst record. I would argue Porzingis and Towns, it's kind of a wash to me. Maybe Towns is a little more valuable, but Porzingis can kind of equal what Towns does too. The main issue is that we have been bad, like bad, other than one season for basically the last 13 years. And we just have like no bites of the apple in the lottery, right? Like, we had one season where it's like we were really bad and had a good draft pick to show for it. But the rest of the seasons, we've traded away draft picks. We haven't finished far enough. We happen in the middle. We take too long to get rid of Carmelo, so he has no trade value. We have to trade him for Cantor, like when we could have maybe got, like, there's just so many. There's like one after another, and almost nothing to show for it but Porzingis. And like that, it's the owner. Like, and the real problem is that the one problem you can never solve in an organization, forget basketball, this is just business. If the CEO is bad and there's no way to get rid of the CEO because the CEO has no boss, you're in trouble. And generally what you do is you look at that situation and you say, I'm leaving my job because I can't get the CEO fired. And that's the situation we're dealing with as fans. Like, we cannot Dolan to sell this team, right? Like, we just have to deal with it and pray that he goes away long enough at certain periods of time that someone can, like, very quickly in a 2-year period of time while he's not paying attention, make the team competent. But if they can't, Dolan's going to show back up and probably do something stupid. So, I don't know.
Let's see, sorry. Mr. Live, you want to counter that? Mr. Live, you want to counter that?
Yeah. Well, okay, you know what I'm saying? Silver lining, okay? Our only silver lining in that is Perry. You understand what I'm saying? Because, you know, as the brother just said, you know, we can end the misery at that ridiculous $70 million that they gave Tim Hardaway Jr. But then Perry comes in and he does a couple of things. He tells Melo, like, listen, we're not going to trade. We're not going to just give you away. You know what I'm saying? Because they was about to take they was about to take Ryan Anderson's bum contract, and he was about to go to the Rockets. So we've been albatross with two of those. I mean, plus Noah. Perry goes, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something responsible. So they go and they do the Oklahoma trade. You know, what happens after that is he signs Burke. And he signs Burke for 2 years. You understand? Well, you know, he signs him for this season. And then next year is an unguaranteed for 1.8. You know what I'm saying? Then he gets Moutier for a second round draft pick this year and a second round draft pick next year for McBuckets. You know what I'm saying? RIP. I like that dude. You know, but again, what you see is you see some confidence happening. You understand what I'm saying? We not, you know, in this draft we're gonna have, let's say, an eighth, ninth pick. And we're going to have two second-round picks. So one probably 30, one probably 40-something or something like that. You know what I'm saying? But we're getting three competent players next year through the draft and not through the cap. So hypothetically, if Cantor stays on, you know, we won't have any cap space, right? But O'Quinn is definitely not going to stay, you know. They'll buy out Baker. You know, they may even buy out Kurt Thomas. I mean, not Kurt Thomas. Wow, blasphemy. Tim Thomas. I mean, another blasphemy. Lance Thomas. They, you know, they out, and we'll have all this, but Beasley won't be back. lackadaisical ass. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a silver lining as far as rebuilding. Now, you know, when we talk about that, you know, everybody's talking about Mark Jackson and the Doc Rivers, and you know what I'm saying? It's like, listen, we need talent first, you know. And I believe this time around we got a dude in Perry who's actually looking to rebuild talent. Now he's not going for stars right now. He's going for talent. And even though I think he kind of messed up with the Moutier over Alfred Payton, he got the two second round draft picks out of Denver. So that in itself, you know, plus Moutier can improve his shot. He's not, you know, I've seen plenty of players in the NBA who used to suck at shooting. I mean, look at Giannis, Antetokounmpo. You know what I'm saying? Man, he was hitting the concession stand when he first came in. Now he has it's not water, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he has a workable jump shot there in mid-range, you know, and he can hit a three every now and then. So it can happen. Will it happen in time? I don't know. And really, he made sure that he doesn't need to worry about it, because if they don't have any patience with Moutier, they can just get him out of here. He's you know what I'm saying? He's unrestricted next year. So if they don't have no patience for him, and some guy like, let's say, if Trae Young is on the board, then we might, you know what I'm saying? It's like we're going to have two really short point guards at the spot, but at least they'll be competent. They're going to be, Trae Young is a pass-first guy, you know, and he can score. So, you know, there is a silver lining. You know what I'm saying? And Dolan, what the hell? I mean, you know, I was gonna be out there boycotting them when they was talking about that Jeremy Lin situation. There's nothing we can do about that man. That man is the devil. You understand what I'm saying? In all shapes and forms, he has no clue of the fandom that it takes for this organization or the dedication in his brand. Like, he don't, you know what I'm saying? The bottom line is he sells out the Garden every time. His merchandise is still, especially with Porzingis, is still one of the number one draws in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? He's making money hand over fist with a crappy product, with one of the worst teams in the NBA. So, he has no incentive to spend money like he did, let's say, when we had that 54-win season. You know, we was over the cap, but we had this incredible team that won 54 games. You know, Dolan is a herb. He's finished. But, you know, again, Perry is the silver line, and I believe. So far, he's been doing some really good, making some really good decisions. Troy Williams is another example of somebody going, we need length and athleticism at that three. Let's get this guy. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm good. I'm on some regular fan stuff right now. Again, in the tank, ready to proceed. That's it.
All right, and let's get around to some final thoughts. Let's start with Dre, Little Dre from the Rack on the Gram. Dre, go ahead. Final thoughts on the Knicks or anything with the league as a whole that you've been watching or seeing from afar. Then go back to Mr. Live and, of course, Av for final thoughts. Go ahead, Dre.
That sums up about everything for the Knicks. The only thing I have to say is the only reason Payton trade didn't go down for Alfred Payton was they wanted to throw in Frank. But no one after the time was like, okay, I think within an hour, then they finally settled for a second-round pick and I think a throw-in player. So, but for him, I think Emmanuel Moody basically adds up to his talent only because had at least around the same averages even as a rookie and sophomore compared to him now, and only decreased because of playing time. But around the NBA, I like what OKC has been lately doing. Timberwolves, they're still getting anything done after the unfortunate injury they're having to Jimmy Butler. And that play with – I had to bring it up – that play with Zaza and Westbrook. How low – can you be? And then you even had trying to say, oh, accident. Who's around you? And that type of stuff now is just, gotta take a look at it. And I also want to ask you something, not like around the NBA, but some with college. They were saying, suggesting the CB, NCAA players boycott the NCAA tournament. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not. What's the deal with that?
Okay, because it was basically on the issue on how, let's see, NCAA players can't get, like, should they or should they not get paid, on how they should get paid after all the work they put in. And Jalen Rose suggested that, and Jay Williams, a former NBA player, I think some of y'all know, especially from the 90s with the Bulls, suggested on a way how you do it is going to basically determine your outcome, and saying why just like boycott the NCAA double A tournament, basically when it just started, when you rather can boycott it when you reach the Final Four. Now, my only problem with it is, well, not problem, but only issue is, who is going to have the balls to say, I am boycotting as an NBA, as a NCAA player? Because the whole point of that is to raise your draft stock. That right there is either, some players is for do or die situations. Unless you're like a top three pick, guaranteed, well, not almost guaranteed to go number one, you're not going to go ahead and say, oh, I'm going to sit out for the Final Four tournament, because that's right there, some people's paycheck. And that's just how it is. And that's like with some things, some players you just can't be able to speak out on, because you would determine, because you're probably afraid it will probably damage your outlook for your a potential NBA career. And I can't get mad at that. That's like with the same thing with some people from the NFL when Kaepernick didn't stand for the flag. Everybody now all of a sudden is with, taking the knee for the flag when he's gone. But where was y'all when he was still there? That's my thing. But anything is great to
see.
That's it.
Okay, go ahead. All right, Little Jake.
Oh, no, that was
wrap. Thank you very much. On that, matter of fact, we'll take that question and go to Mr. Live if he wants to answer that question in his final thoughts as well. Mr. Live, your final thoughts. And in Dre's question is a little kind of off topic, but we'll address it, about if there's certain college players potentially boycotting the NCAA tournament. What's your thoughts on it, if any? And then anything with the Knicks and the NBA as well, and then we'll go to Av.
I'm a big anti-NCAA, I wouldn't call it fanatic, but my son played ball in high school. You know, it was D3, you know what I'm saying? He almost won the championship, you know what I'm saying? Lost it at the championship level. But I would never allow my child to play D1 NCAA ball. It's a slave ship. Basically, you know what I'm saying? And they definitely should. Are we organized and ready to do that? I don't think we're nowhere near this. You know, again, as we see now, the cats is getting paid under the table anyway, you know, and, you know, there's no need to make this uproar when you know this is happening already, when you know on top of that your farming system is one of the most ethically corrupt. In sports, you understand what I'm saying? And, I mean, it's way too much money for the NCAA, not to say upon graduation, right? Even if, you know what I'm saying, because only 1% of these kids get to go play professional sports, and I'm talking about paying them across the board, athletics, academics, music scholarships, and all that. If that club or that team is bringing in scholastic money, pay them people at the end of the when they graduate, get them people money so they can start their lives on a bright note. You understand what I'm saying? All of them is not going to be NBA players. All of them not going to be NFL players. You understand what I'm saying? Give them a nest egg. Give them a package. Say thank you. You know what I'm saying? We made $77 billion off of your contribution. Here go $250,000. Go open you up a small business. Go further your education. Do whatever you want to, but you leave in college on a plus. You know what I'm saying? I know that was off topic, and you know, I'm kind of passionate about that, because you know I see that as it's so bad and it's so unequal. But again, as far as the Knicks is concerned, again, I got my tank gear on, B. You know what I'm saying? I want some more 10 days. They was talking about letting Jack go. Get him out of here, sign another 10-day. I think Hicks and Cornett need to get some more time. I don't think, Dotson, I've seen enough of Dotson. You know, he may be a physical player, but, his offense is unreliable. And Troy Williams, I hope they sign Troy Williams for the rest of the year, man. As always, bleed blue. Love y'all cats, man. Some of the most knowledgeable people I heard convey thoughts, man. And Steve, I'll see you next week, man.
Shout outs to Mr. Live, man. Thank you very much for your thoughts. The infamous Knickerbocker Avenue or Search for the Streets. Your final thoughts. And if you like to tackle Dre's question on potentially boycotting the tournament from the players, feel free to do it. And then have anything else on your mind, tell everybody how you can be found on social media. And once again, my brother, happy Independence Day to the Dominicans. Man.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that, brother. Here's my two cents on the NCAA boycott. The crazy thing is that I'm very conflicted because I like everybody else, you want to see the players make, to get paid and get compensated properly for playing a game. On the flip side, they currently are. They're getting a free education. That's the thing. They're getting a free education, and if they choose to, to vacate their degree for their future, and go into the NBA and then make a few million bucks, depending on how high, they get drafted, that's their prerogative. That's kind of the whole thing because if we're doing that with the NCAA in basketball, then we definitely have to give them the same freaking respect in football because college football is pretty much like the bread and butter in most areas. And with the amount of endorsements, the amount of money that's involved, from corporations like Taco Bell and Lay's and McDonald's and everybody involved, where does the monopoly end? Because then eventually, once we start dealing with college, eventually they're gonna start putting. We're gonna also be paying the AAU players for the All-American game. I mean, that's kind of like. At some point, I kind of understand that, but that's why I said I'm conflicted. In terms of the Knicks, I get everybody saying, I get a lot of, people, on social media saying that we're tanking, we're doing this. At this point, this is just pure entertainment if you choose to go that route. If there's nothing, watch the game. Hopefully Hornacek makes makes some adjustments along the way and better himself as a coach. But at the same time, continue to play the younger players because this is an evaluation period. Courtney Lee, Kyle O'Quinn, and a lot of the other players that won't be here next year, they still have their contracts in hand. They got paid handsomely from the Knicks and I wish them well and pretty much. That they're going to get something similar or a little lower than less than what they've already gotten, and they'll be on. They'll be like Aaron Aflalo or guys like that. But at this point, as a fan, continue to rep the show. Continue to to voice your opinions. You can find me at Knickerbocker Ave on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Today marks. The third anniversary of us losing the great Nick Dungeon, Anthony Mason. So rest in peace, Mace. And I still send my condolences to his family. What can be said about Anthony Mason? It's just he was a beast, and we love this play, and we were sad to see him go when he got traded from New York to Charlotte to Larry Johnson, and we were definitely saddened to see him go. When he passed 3 years ago. So that's all I got for the night, except that I still hate moving. My process is still going on, and Sangre Azul all day, every day.
Sangre Azul, bleed blue. I would say, for my final thoughts on the NCAA, I think this is where I stand. And it's really about what they – if they really believe what they believe in, feel free to sit out. I mean, that's the way of the world. If you feel like you need to obtain resources from an entity or a person or in an organization, you have to make a stand. You have to stick by it. See, what I think a lot of what I see from afar, whether it's when they talk about boycott, people sit from afar. They do it for a short term, and they don't do it long enough, so they're not taken seriously. So if you're in, you have to be all in. You can't just do it for even one season. You may have to do it for a couple of seasons if you really feel like that has to be the case. I think it is a slippery slope because I always believe that if basketball players wanted to be paid, football players wanted to be paid, then the women are going to want to be paid, women's basketball, or the golf team or the swimming team. So it's a slippery slope as far as how you get stipends for everybody. So they're going to have, if there is going to be a way to get all those people on the same page, it's got to be fair for everybody. It's not going to just be relegated to just the football and the basketball players. Now, as far as the Knicks, and this is just analysis. This is just watching it from afar. I'm just going to watch the development of the last games of the year. Our season was lost even before KP got hurt. And we saw it with this head coach who's not going to be here at the end of the season. And it's all really about Mills getting the guy he wants. And we got to take it for what it is. And I'm okay with that. I didn't think we looked at the Knicks as a perennial playoff team anyway. You could go back to the audio archives back in the summertime that everything had to go right just to get the 8 seed. Everything hasn't gone right. Because of that, we're not going to make the playoffs. So I'm not surprised at it. We're just shocked that when it's developed and when we see, you're still amazed at some of the moves that do happen with the head coach. But I'm kind of, since the All-Star break, I got to take some positives. I like the guards, the way they have attacked, and I hope that in some of these games coming up, they're going to continue to attack, and then maybe some of these games are going to translate into wins. I love all the points from all the stakeholders, Mr. Live, Asim, Lou, Tom, Dre, Little Dre to the rack, of course, the infamous Knickerbocker Avenue. This is the episode on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum here on the Bleed Blue Show. I mean, this is where great stakeholders, great Knicks fans come in, talk, and have dialogue. I mean, there's nothing like it, man. And share this episode. When we say share this episode, because you get to hear from Sim and Mr. Live, Dre, Tom, Lou, Av. You know, great fans on audio, man. It makes your day go by faster because we're not a watered down platform. We're real. It's real, authentic. We call it for what it is. It's respectful dialogue, and it's a great way. Take it on the go. You know, you travel, you at work, the gym, all that stuff, man. There's nothing like the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, man. On a bleep. Sangre azul. Bleep blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep.